Brett, what is going on, dude? That is the sound of a High Noon, dude. High Noon, if you're listening, come sponsor us. We drink this shit all the time. Dude, you know what that sound means, Brett? It's time for another podcast. How are you doing, dude? How was your week? Let's get into it, man.
Hey, man, it's been good. Had a good weekend and a good week so far. My wife and I started this like 75-day kind of like fitness challenge, I guess. It's called like 75 hard. I think it's pretty strict. We're doing sort of like a modified version of that, but just trying to eat well and get to the gym every day and drink less and all that. So we're on like day three of a little health kick. So yeah, I'm starting to feel pretty good in that regard. And I was happy with how that last pod we did came out, and I'm looking forward to doing the rest of these little division off-season reviews. And this one should be maybe not quite as exciting as the last one, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, you are spot on. So for anyone that doesn't know, we're doing 6 weeks of this. We are in week two. If you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's, we just dropped it on, I think, Monday or Tuesday. We posted it, Northwest Division. It was awesome. We had a great time. It was about an hour 15, hour 20. Super easy listen. If you put it at two times speed, like how I do it, you can get it done in 45 minutes. But as you alluded to, we don't know yet. Again, we got four other divisions to go. But man, dude, this Southeast division that we're doing today is it might be a little boring. I should say we'll have fun with it, but it's a little boring because no one really did anything. We will obviously talk about Atlanta. Orlando was another one that had the number one pick. But let's get into it, man. Let's just start with last year's winner. The Miami Heat, they went 53-29. They were the one seed. They lost in an epic, I don't mind using that term, epic seven-game series against Boston. We all know Jimmy Butler's three. Does it go in? Does it not go in? Maybe we're having a completely different discussion, but it didn't go in. So let's give just a quick little recap of Miami's offseason. They signed Caleb Martin to a three-year, $20 million deal. Victor Oladipo came back. Dwayne Dedman came back. Big loss for them. PJ Tucker left. He went to Philly for a three-year, $30 million Milwaukee legend. We some dogs. But yeah, man, I mean, Brett, we'll get into it. They did draft, a guy with the same name as the two-time MVP, Nikola Jovic. I don't know where to go with this team. I gave them an incomplete. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. They seem to be in a humongous holding pattern here with Kevin Durant obviously demanding a trade. Donovan Mitchell, we talked about him a little bit last week with Utah. I mean, Brett, what did you like? What did you didn't like? I mean, I kind of feel like I'm not really giving you a softball here, maybe a little bit of a curveball, but give me your thoughts on the Miami Heat offseason.
Yeah, I mean, really not the most exciting offseason at all. It's funny because kind of to tie in with what you were saying before, like when we were doing the Northwest Division and we were, I was thinking about it ahead of time and then we were talking about it and I felt like I was so excited about all those off seasons and so optimistic. And so, you know what I mean? I was like, am I just going to feel this way about the whole league? And then I start looking at the Southeast division and the Heat right off the bat. I'm like, yeah, not everybody had a good off season. But the PJ Tucker thing, like, I can't believe he got 3 years, $30 million from Philly. What is he? 37 years old. Like, that's a hefty amount of money for a 37-year-old role player. I understand his value and everything, but that was pretty wild. But yeah, leaving Miami, that sort of leaves them with a gaping hole at power forward. Like, I don't really know who's going to be starting at the four for them. I know they re-signed Dwayne Dedman. Is he going to play the five and with Bam in at the four? I don't know. It seems like it's kind of a weird lineup. They definitely didn't get better. Signing Caleb Martin is nice. Oladipo for 2 years, 18 with a player option on the second year is a pretty nice deal for him, considering everything he's been through. So I think they're going to lean on him a little more heavily next season. But yeah, I mean, all that really happened for them was they lost PJ Tucker and then they drafted Jovic. So it's hard to say they got better. I mean, I just think Bam's going to have to step up for them next year. But as far as their offseason, yeah, really not a lot to talk about.
Let's go with this then. Let's think of some of the hypotheticals, right? So here's some of the hypotheticals that have come out about Miami. Obviously, they want Kevin Durant. Obviously, they want Donovan Mitchell, right? But, I mean, I think their issue is, all right, so you're going to give up Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. I think we both know, right, it doesn't take a genius, right, Brett, to understand that it's very, very difficult to play Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson at the same time. And they, I know that they have picks that they can throw in, but – I just don't know. I mean, obviously the Brooklyn Nets, they want Bam, and Danny Ainge and Pat Riley hate each other. So I can't imagine that Pat Riley is going to win that trade. And maybe Danny Ainge is winning that trade. And that's why Donovan Mitchell is not going to the Miami Heat. But I just don't know where they kind of go from here. You know that I'm the biggest Tyler Hero fan that there is. Shout out to Whitnell. I mean, he's a sixth man of the year. I thought he was absolutely unbelievable this year. We got, and you and I got into some conversations. I mean, dude, he averaged 20 points a game, almost 21 points a game. I mean, he was their primary ball handler. He shot a career best from three. But then again, man, if you're trading for Tyler Hero, and I like Tyler Hero, I think he's perfect with Miami. I'm not trying to say that he's not, but he once again had a weird playoffs. You look at what he did against Atlanta. I mean, he averaged 12 points a game. You look what he did against Philly. He averaged 14 points a game. And then against Boston, I know he was in and out of the lineup with injuries, but dude, he averaged 9 points a game. And if he wants to be a starter and he wants to be more than just a sixth man, I mean, he's got to get better in some of those areas.
It'll be interesting to see where he fits into the rotation next season. Like, I'm not sure if they're just committed, assuming they keep him, you know, don't trade him for a guy like Mitchell or KD. Like, assuming they keep him, do they keep him in that second unit or, you know, and start Oladipo? Or do they like Oladipo off the bench and maybe start Hero or even maybe bring both of them off the bench? But yeah, I'm assuming he's going to sort of resume that role as sixth man next season. And yeah, I don't see the KD trade happening. That's for sure. Because I feel like they would have to give up either Bam or Butler. I don't know. I mean, if I were them, I'd probably give up Butler, but I don't know. I just don't see that happening. And I just think another team could probably offer something better. And maybe, you know, maybe KD doesn't even end up getting traded. I don't know at this point. And then as far as Mitchell, I mean, I'd say they have a shot. Hero has quite a bit of value, I would think. And he's young.
Sure.
Is he, 22? Yeah. So, I mean, he could fit into maybe the Jazz's kind of like long term. He's more in line with their timeline. And
he's going to get paid, though, man. Remember, like, if you're the Utah Jazz, like, we talked about it on the last pod, you know, like, you're going to have to pay him if you're going to trade for him. You know, it's not just like, hey, we're going to keep tanking, you know, kind of go the OKC route a little bit, even though they just recently signed SGA. I mean, his extension kicks in. But I just don't know. Does Utah want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
They'd have to love him. They'd have to love him. He is a few years younger than Mitchell. Maybe they feel like he's a guy that's a little easier to, I won't say build around, because he's not a guy that you build around, but just slot in ultimately on a good team. I'm not sure. That really depends on how much they value him, how they perceive him as a player. And that's where I'm not sure, but kind of on paper, I don't know, maybe they have an outside chance at that. And that would certainly salvage what has been a pretty disappointing, underwhelming offseason so far for them. But barring a trade for a star, I don't see this team as like a number one seed again. You never know.
I'll just say it for you, man. I don't. I think that everything that could have gone right for them in the regular season went right for them. I'm with you. I listened to some other podcasts and read some articles about Kyle Lowry just, you know, kind of in the offseason, not even really prepping for this. And I know they're banking on him. Pat Riley was pissed off because he wasn't in shape. And I think he had some personal stuff going on too, which you never want to see. But I honestly don't know. Like I said, I think everything went right for them. And if you look at – I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, I think Tyler Hero is one of just a couple – players to win six man averaging over 20 points a game. I might be wrong on that. I remember when I was looking at something, we're talking about Tyler Hero cards, just so everyone wants to know, like 4 months ago, and I was looking stuff up and it was just, he just had an unbelievable season. Can he do that again? PJ Tucker was amazing for them. But the other thing, and we talked about in the offseason, the same thing happened with Milwaukee. You know, the good thing about PJ is maybe he gets cooked a little bit, but he can hold his own. You trust him. And Jimmy Butler doesn't have to guard the other team's best player. That's somebody else. Now who fills that role for them?
I don't see it, man. I was looking at their roster, and it's just like, yeah, I don't know, man. That hurts them. Even though, I mean, yeah, he's not like a star or anything, it hurts them almost more than he's worth in a vacuum, if that makes sense. I think their path to, you know, similar success next season, assuming the roster stays as is, would be Hero making another jump and becoming more adept as a primary ball handler, running pick and rolls, playmaking, creating more for himself and for others, like taking that jump, like the points per game, like sure, like he's, that's fine. You know what I mean? But just in terms of the type of player he is.
Playmaker.
Yeah, more of a, and he showed plenty of flashes of that when he was running the second unit at times last season. Like he can do it. I've always thought that he could even transition and become a true point guard at some point. So I don't know. I think maybe him moving further in that direction would go a long way. And if Lowry has some kind of resurgence, that would be huge. I mean, I could see him as being a valuable player still, but I just don't think you can rely on him too much. And then I think Bam has not lived up to his potential yet. As good as he is, I think he can be a lot better. Also with more ball handling, playmaking, creation. Like he's got some real gifts that most centers don't have. And he uses them kind of sparingly. Like I think he could be leaned on a little more heavily too. So maybe go away a little bit from Butler and Lowry in terms of offensive workload and lean a little more on Hero and Bam. If Depot can, you know, be even better than he was in the playoffs, like that's big. So, I mean, I think there's a path for them to be a really good team. But yeah, I mean, they set the bar pretty high last season. Like you said, everything went pretty well for them. And they're always going to be in the mix. You know, they're so well coached.
Great, I think Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA. I really, truly believe that.
He's certainly up there, man. So, you know, I'm not like counting them out by any means. I just, I don't think they've improved their team either.
Me neither. I would agree with that. And with that, I mean, and again, we'll get into some of the Duncan Robinson stuff later on this offseason as we do kind of like previews and what to do with them, because I'm not sure if Miami is going to be able to trade him. I expect him to be on the roster, which I guess means I expect them not to get down with Mitchell or Kevin Durant. But I mean, Brett, let's go to a team that you and I both – I really like this offseason with the Atlanta Hawks. They finished 43-39. They were the A seed. They won the play-in. I think they actually beat Charlotte, and they obviously got – you know, they got beat pretty bad by Miami. But, I mean, I called them. I think you kind of disagreed with me a little bit. They were my most disappointing team last season. Yes, I know we can maybe kind of point to that Eastern Conference Finals run. Maybe they outplayed themselves a little bit, that team wasn't as good as they really were. But I just thought that they were so loaded at each position. They had amazing depth that they were just going to keep going. And they didn't. So obviously the real story, the best story of Atlanta's entire offseason is that Aaron and Justin Holiday, they're reunited. They're going to be the one punch that takes – no, I'm just kidding. Obviously it's the DeJounte Murray trade, which I think you and I kind of – I don't know. Maybe you and I didn't really talk about it. I love this trade for them. I think it gives them another ball handler, a good defender. Yeah, they gave up Gallinari. They gave up a 2023 first, a 2025 first, a 2026 pick swap, and a 2027 first. I would do that. I like what they did. I think that they can be a really, really good fit. I think they are automatically one of the best backcourts in the NBA just based on pure talent. Obviously, you have to play the games. And I'll be honest with you, man, I like the AJ Griffin draft pick. I think if that dude can stay healthy, he showed flashes at Duke. And if he can stay healthy, I think that that's going to be a really, really good pickup for them. So, yeah, man, I gave Atlanta's offseason an A+. Again, this is just the offseason. This is what the roster looks like on paper. But, Brett, what did you like about Atlanta's offseason and what didn't you like?
I liked it a lot. I liked that they made a big move. You know, that felt like what they needed to do is just reshape their team a little bit and get a little bit better defensively. Obviously, DeJounte is going to provide that. I mean, he's an elite, elite defender, all defensive. I think he was first team, but certainly like first team caliber. He's going to be an all defensive guy perennially, just an extremely long guard. Now he's been more of a point guard historically. So you're kind of running two point guards. I do think, and this has been talked about a lot, that Trey should move off ball a little more. He does almost nothing off ball. And as so many people have said, like maybe, you know, play a little bit more like Steph, you know, running off screens and getting spot up looks. You have to think DeJounte is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and Trey is going to be doing a lot of that off-ball stuff. So I like that a lot. Between the defense and then just being able to be a primary ball handler, take some of that pressure off Trey, it might make Trey just a better player overall. I think they'll benefit each other. So I really like the fit. I think that's a killer backcourt. Yeah, they gave up a lot for him, but that was the market. That's what it took. And yeah, I'm not mad at them for it. And the Herter trade, like that's cool. I think they, what did they get? A future first and then Holiday and Harkless from the Kings. For-
yeah, and I think Justin Holley has the potential to be pretty damn good for them too. Like, obviously, I was being a little bit sarcastic there in my open with Justin and
I agree, man. And Aaron Holiday is a really nice backup point guard as well. So yeah, they've been solid, man. And I like the AJ Griffin pick too at 16 out of Duke. You know, he was like top 10, if not top 5, excuse me, for a while last season, earlier on in the college year. And then he just kind of, his stock dropped a little bit, but you know, he's a lights out shooter. And I think that's a great value at 16. I think if he hits, he could far exceed that, that draft position. So
he's just got to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, man, he's going to be, that's a great pickup for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably, if I was giving a grade to their offseason, I'd probably say like a B. Like I said, I love the fit with DeJounte. I love that. I love the idea of it. I think that makes a lot of sense, but they did give up a lot. So it, you know, it has to work out. It's one of those things like where, you know, you're okay, this better work. And I do think it will. The only thing I don't really like is that they didn't trade John Collins, at least not yet. I think that could still happen. It's not like they don't need him. It's not like he's not valuable for them, but I think they could use his value a little just to make them a better team. Maybe try to bring in a wing or something. I don't know. So the John Collins thing, like, I don't know where you stand on this, but that's the one thing I've kind of felt for a while, and it's been talked about. He's been in trade rumors forever, and I think that's for a reason. I think he's kind of disappears at times for them, especially in the playoffs. And it's not because he's a bad player. It's just like he might not fit in all the time with how they play and with their roster. So that I would be in favor of a Collins trade, of course, depending on what you can get back for him. I'm assuming you could get a lot back for him. And I think with that, you could maybe bring in the pieces to make you have a legit chance to come out of the East. I'm not sure they're quite at that level yet. I think they've got the talent to make some noise, but I'm not sure I could quite see this team, you know, getting to the finals or even back to the conference finals. But maybe with a Collins trade and bringing in a couple of pieces that really fit with what you're trying to do, really cementing your identity, maybe you could make that kind of run. They're not far off. I think they'll be better than they were last season, for sure. Even just right now, if they don't make any other moves, I think they'll be closer to 50 wins than 40. And probably above the play-in, if I had to guess.
I agree, and I know you don't. I know you don't like looking at, you know, what the last season's results were, but I definitely think that they are a better team than Chicago today. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Brooklyn? I agree with you. I think as in regards to John Collins, I just fully think that it's kind of like Malcolm Brogdon. I actually heard Russillo say this, and he was spot on. If your name is in trade talks for that long, you're probably not going to get what you want from him. And I think Atlanta knows that. I think they're a smart team. They have a smart front office. I have a feeling he's going to get traded probably before the trade deadline. And barring, you know, he comes out here and he's averaging like 25 points a game. I just think that his value for the rest of the league is probably not as high as fans would want it to be. So that's my – I'm with you on that. I would like to see them trade him too, just to kind of open that up a little bit. I think they want to. I just don't think that the market is as receptive to John Collins as maybe other people think he is.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like he's been in trade rumors for so long, and it's pretty clear that they've wanted to move him. And the fact that they haven't yet, yeah, the market's probably not where they want it to be for him. And, you know, like I mentioned, trading him and bringing in a wing potentially, they've got – a kid named DeAndre Hunter, who I was expecting big things from last year. And he just wasn't quite the level of player that I thought he'd be in that season. But if he can bounce back next year and be the guy that, you know, I thought he could be, they might have enough. Like if you could get a big jump from DeAndre Hunter, and then with Capella doing what he always does, Okongwu getting better, still have Collins, you still have Bogdanovich, right? And then Murray, like they have a great guard rotation, man. Trey Young, DeJounte Murray, Bogdanovich, and Aaron Holiday. Like that's a solid guard rotation. So, man, they've got a lot of talent. I don't know. Maybe they do have enough to make a run now that I'm kind of thinking about the roster. But I think DeAndre Hunter could be like an X factor, like a swing player for them, where if he's kind of the same guy he was last season, they probably don't have enough. If he makes another jump and becomes one of the premier 3-and-D wings in the NBA, then this team might be able to make a run and contend to come out of the East. So yeah, they're exciting. They got better. And it was nice to talk about them after that depressing Miami segment.
Yeah, dude, it was. And we'll move on to Charlotte. And I just want to say one thing that I fully agree with you on what you said at the top, that they got as far as they could with that group. As I said too, I thought they were very, very disappointing last year. It was time to make a change, and I love what they did. I don't know if they are in contender status. I think we have to see it play out, but I'm excited for them. And you know what? I say it all the time, and people get annoyed with me, and I'm going to keep saying it. It's okay to just get better. It's okay to just get better, and I think that's exactly what Atlanta did. As far as the next team that we're going to talk about, oh boy, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm just going to be honest. I have no idea what they were doing. I think I gave it an F, and I'm really, really curious to get your thoughts. I gave it an F just based on the coaching thing alone. They fired our guy. Yes, I'm saying our guy, James Borrego. We love that dude. All that dude did was make the best out of what I consider not a good roster. They hired Kenny Atkinson. He decided after a couple days, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay as an assistant to Steve Kerr in Golden State. Then they rehired Steve Clifford. I thought that Mike D'Antoni and LaMelo would have been pretty fun together. But no, they just hired Steve Clifford, who used to be the Charlotte Hornets coach. As far as kind of what the roster looks like, it's really tough for me to slam them. Obviously, we have to bring up Miles Bridges. He was due for a massive extension with Charlotte. For all intents and purposes, Charlotte was going to offer him. He was going to accept that. But he did get booked on felony domestic violence and child abuse. Obviously, Charlotte cannot sign him. Just from a morality standpoint, he is currently unsigned, and you know, he's got bigger issues in his life than basketball at this point. But other than that, like, Charlotte just had a very, very weird offseason. I guess it's kind of on brand for them. They've been linked with Russell Westbrook. They've been linked in just trying to unload the Gordon Hayward contract. LaMelo Ball, who knows what's going on there? Is he going to be one of these guys? Again, I don't think so. I'm not reporting anything. Is he going to be the one that turns down this rookie extension? I have no idea. Brett, if you can see me on video, my hands are in the air right now because this may be a 3-minute segment or it could be a 15-minute segment. I have no idea. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. That's how bad or disappointing or non-existent Charlotte's offseason was.
Yeah, I mean, look, they lost their second best player. Miles Bridges was their second best player last season, and he's not coming back. Now, that's a weird situation because they had extended him a qualifying offer, which they were expected to do, and then, you know, another team would have given him an offer sheet, and then they could have matched. But they want no part of him now, obviously, as no team should. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole right now. You know, if I'm an NBA team, you want no part of that guy right now. You can't do it. But the thing is, like, they missed the deadline to pull their qualifying offer. So I think he could still sign it and make $7 million next season. Now, I don't think he's not going to suit up for the Hornets. I don't think. But they might be paying him that. But I don't know. That's something I need to do a little more research on. It's kind of an unprecedented situation. But so, yeah, you lose him and that hurts. I think the natural guy that needs to step up is PJ Washington. I don't believe they've come to an agreement on an extension yet with him. I think he's eligible. Maybe that's something that could happen here before the season starts. I'm not sure, but he's going to probably slot into Bridges' spot in the starting lineup at the four, and they're going to be relying on him heavily. But yeah, as far as, you know, the rest of their offseason, they drafted Mark Williams at 15. I like the pick. I think it fills a pretty glaring need that they've had.
They finally have a big.
A really big too. Like, yeah. You know, 7'1", 7'2", 7'7", wingspan. Like, I saw him at Summer League up close, and he is unbelievably long. So he could be a guy that could maybe ultimately run some pick and roll with LaMelo and provide a real above the rim threat. He's going to protect the rim, which they've never had a good rim protector like ever, for as long as I can remember. So I like that pick. I think that's a great value at 15. He was another guy that had been talked about as maybe a guy that could go in the top 10. So they legitimately filled a need, and they probably got a guy that could have gone higher in the draft. And yeah, the Martin twins, man, they got paid. Cody, 4 years, 31. He's a solid player. I like both of those guys, man. I think Miami and Charlotte were smart for giving those guys some nice multi-year money. The Steve Clifford thing, I don't get. I just don't get. Like, what? Why? What? Like, his, without even bringing up his record as an NBA coach and what he did with Charlotte, like, I think he had a losing record every year with them, except that one season, I think it was 2016, where they went to the playoffs. But, you know, overall, he's, let me see, 45%. You know, he's 292 and 345 in his NBA career.
Well, they also had bad teams. And I know, like, you know, I think he's a great assistant coach. And maybe as a head coach, he hasn't had much to work with. But I just don't understand. You already had him in your building. You let him go for James Borrego. And now you bring him back. I thought I would have never gotten rid of James Borrego. I thought he was a good head coach. Maybe there's something more to there than
it has to be,
or something that we don't know about. I have no idea. I'm with you, though. Yeah. I just thought it was very bizarre. I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense. Kind of, it's like, even beyond, like, you could say, yeah, like, you know, you make a good point. Like, hasn't had that much to work with. Maybe you give him the right team. He can, you know, just his personality and, like, his style of coaching. Like, I'm just not sure he's the guy for a young team. Kind of like Tibbs.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing where, like, but I don't know that he even, you know, Tibbs gives you that first season bump where he gets you to the playoffs and kind of motivates it. I don't know that Clifford even does that. I think he's just like a poor man's Tibbs in a sense. He's kind of old school. I don't know. I don't know how LaMelo feels about this. Weird, weird hire, mainly because, though, he had already been there, like you said. So that made no sense at all. I don't know. Did they do anything else?
Basically, the only thing is, dude, they've been linked to Russell Westbrook. They've been linked to just trying to get off of Gordon Hayward. I think this is going to be the roster coming in. I don't think there's any.
Is this a tanking team? Like, is this?
I honestly have no idea. I'll tell you what, though, man. I think this LaMelo Ball thing is pretty going to be interesting, just because of who his dad is. I think he's an exciting player. He needs to. We'll talk about this more in our preview. He needs to. To make a jump. I know they were 43. They're 43 and 39 with that. I don't know why you fired James Borrego. I don't get it. I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they can make the play-in again. I honestly have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, just looking at the roster, I feel like that's, I mean, they're not, it's not a bad collection of players. But I just don't see, assuming, you know, they don't have Bridges, which I think is a pretty safe assumption. I don't see how they're any better than they were last season, especially with Clifford instead of Borrego. I don't know. There must have been something with Borrego, with, you know, the players maybe weren't all in on him, or some of the players. Yeah, we like him, man, from our perspective. Absolutely. One of our favorites. But I just don't know that Steve Clifford is going to be the guy, man. Yeah, I could see them trading some guys and just sort of bottoming out. Like, this could be a bad team. Like, if say they trade Oubre at the deadline, he's on an expiring contract, or maybe Hayward, or PJ Washington was rumored, but now with everything, I think he's a guy they probably hang on to, but I don't know, man. I think, yeah, at the end of the day, there's a chance they might not have enough to even, you know, sniff the playoffs. Not a good offseason. They, you know, with the Bridges stuff and that bizarre coaching hire and nothing else really of note, I think they had one of the worst off seasons in the league.
And it sucks, man. I mean, he just coached them to their first winning season under him. And
I feel like they kind of overachieved, like 43 and 39. Like, they had the same record as the Hawks, the same record as the 8 seed. Like,
I agree, man. You and I are in complete agreement on it. It's very, very bizarre. But let's keep the bizarreness going and go to another team, man, the Washington Wizards. And I had written down in my notes, we talked about this earlier, actually off air. I like kind of the KCP trade for them. I like Will Barton. I like Monte Morris. But I also wrote down, what the hell were they doing? Obviously, I'm a huge Johnny Davis fan. Washington was the one team I did not want him to go to. I thought that was going to be too much for him there. And sure enough, Johnny Davis goes to Washington. Let's talk about the big one, man. I mean, Bradley Beal, 5 years, $251 million, and they gave him a no-trade clause. That is just a pretty crazy contract. I mean, I'm not trying to rip on Bradley Beal too much. Congratulations for him for getting the bag that you always want players to succeed. I know he led the league in scoring 1 year. He's averaged over 30 points a game twice. That is crazy to me, Brett. Like, this is not one of those things where, hey, it's not like a Portland thing where, you know, Damian Lillard, oh, we get to watch Damian Lillard play still. Damian Lillard is a much better player than Bradley Beal. I don't think that – curious to what you could see. I don't think you're going to disagree with me too much. I don't think Bradley Beal is a number one on a championship-level team. They had plenty of chances to trade Bradley Beal the last 2 years. I just – okay, you're going to give him the max contract. I don't understand the no-trade clause at all that you gave him. And if we were betting money on this, we would bet – both of us would. I know you don't gamble that much – that in a year or two, Bradley Beal is going to demand a trade. It's as clear as day that that is what's going to happen unless something crazy happens. I am just confused with this team. I don't really understand what they're trying to do here. I know they've been kind of linked to some Donovan Mitchell, which is some weird, crazy stuff. Give me your thoughts, man. What do you think about Washington? What did you like? What didn't you like?
I mean, I get why they extended him. They don't want to just lose him for nothing.
But they had a chance to trade for him. You could have traded for him. I'm sorry, You could have traded him the year before. You have to sign him now because you're not going to trade him.
Exactly. In hindsight, for sure. Like, that would have been the move. Would be to, especially like because his value would have been, you know, that's when he was averaging 30 points a game, and people were really talking about him as like, you know, a top, I don't know, top three shooting guard or whatever. And then and now, like, that's something that I don't think gets talked about enough is kind of what a bad season he had last year. Like, his scoring average dropped from 31.3 points a game in 2020-21 to 23.2. Like, that's a precipitous drop. That's 8 points per game fewer than he was scoring. Like, that's a big drop for a guy that's only, you know, 27, 28 years old. His field goal percentage went way down. He shot only 30% from three. Everything was down pretty much except his assists. But yeah, he had definitely his worst season in at least, like, you know, 5-6 years. So I don't feel great about him as being like a number one guy. I just think he's more of a number two. Like, I think that role he had next to John Wall was kind of, he was better suited for that than being like the guy, but now he's being paid like the guy. He's being paid as much as, you know, Jokic. And I get why they did it, but he's not worth that money. He's just not worth it. He's going to be making like $60 million probably, like a per year at the end of the last couple seasons of that contract, something crazy like that. So I can't say I hate it. Like, it was expected. You know what I mean? It was just an expected move, and there was a reason it was expected. So it's like, I can't kill them for it, and I can't laud them for it. It was expected, and it is what it is, and it's an insane amount of money. But I think if we can, you know, look past that, like I was saying, we were talking about the Nuggets the other day, like the KCP and Ishmael Smith for Monty Morris and Will Barton. Like, I liked it for Denver. I also kind of like it for the Wizards. Like, I think in a vacuum, Monty Morris is probably the best out of all those guys. You could argue that Monty and Barton are the two best out of all those guys, but, you know, Denver needed defense and more shooting, and KCP provides that, like I said last week. But for the Wizards, I think that's an upgrade also. It's just one of those trades. They had DeLon Wright, going to be probably the backup point guard, solid. They lost Thomas Bryant to the Lakers, but he wasn't, you know, they already have Porzingis and Gafford, so who knows where he would have fit in with them. He probably gets the start for the Lakers, so I don't blame him for doing that. I didn't like the Johnny Davis pick that much. I know you love him. I didn't.
Worst team. He could not have gone to a worse team.
It's a weird pick because, like, you know, he kind of seems like a Beal kind of guy, just like almost like a poor man's Beal. Like, I don't really know that the two of them can play together. Like, I don't think he's anywhere close to being a point guard. I know people have said they might want to convert him to a point guard eventually, but I don't think he's anywhere near that. And I didn't love the pick at the time. I've never loved Johnny Davis. Like,
oh, go away. And
I mean, I don't hate him either. He was a great college player. Like, I see the appeal, but then, you know, and I know it's summer league, but seeing him in person there, I was not wowed. He looked smaller than I expected. He looked slower than I expected. didn't have a lot of burst, didn't, you know, he just doesn't seem that athletic or that big for his position. I think his range is questionable. I'm not
Nathan
sure he
Google,
has.
When you listen to this, just
I think Nathan. I think I've talked about it with him on Twitter. I think he knows where I stand on this. Like, but you know, and I'm not an expert on this shit like him. But just from that was my impression. It's like, does he have NBA range? Does he have NBA athleticism? Does he have NBA size to be a two guard?
Oh,
like,
I
have questions, especially when you think about the guys like Jalen Duren, Jalen Williams, Tari Eason, like some of the guys that he was drafted over. I don't know, man. I hope he works out for them because I think he was drafted over some pretty good players. I just don't love him. So between the Beal thing, I don't know. I'd probably give their offseason like a C. I'm not out on Johnny Davis. Like, to be clear, like I don't think he was a bad pick necessarily. I just don't know. I need to see more. All I really have to go off was the little bit I saw of him in college and then what I saw up close at Summer League. So I need to see more of him. I'm not out on him. He might show me something yet. Now, I like their team. Like, I like a lot of the other guys that we're not talking about, just some of the young guys that they have. Gafford, Hachimura, Denny Avdia, like Kispert. I like Porzingis. Like, they have some pretty damn good players. And I think they could actually be, I think they'll be better than Charlotte, for instance. Like, I think they could maybe sniff the playoffs, maybe make the playoffs. I don't know. So I like their team. I just didn't love their offseason. Like, I really wanted to see them get a nice point guard. And maybe Monty Morris can exceed my expectations a little bit and just assume that role of point guard and be a better fit next to Beal than, say, Dinwiddie was last year. That remains to be seen. We won't know till we see it, but yeah, for now it's kind of like maybe CC plus.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I do want, before we move on, before we move on to Orlando, Bradley Beal is making $34 million and Kristaps Porzingis is making $32 million. Congratulations, Washington Wizards. Congratulations. Hey man, let's go on to a team that you and I are very, very high on. I know you love kind of Markel Fultz a little bit, and I really like this roster. I think it's one of the most interesting rosters in the NBA. Do the Orlando Magic, man. Obviously, they had one of the worst records in the NBA last year. They got Paolo Banchero. I'll say it, man. I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I think that he's going to be the best rookie out of this class. I think Chet's going to be right there, but I just love Paolo's game. I love his all-around game. I think he's got the potential. Is all right in front of him. He's got the NBA body. I just really like this roster, man. I like the, you know, they re-signed Mo Bamba for two at 21. They re-signed Gary Harris for two at 26. I like this team. I think Wendell Carter Jr. made some big, big strides. They get Jonathan Isaac back. I think, you know, we can add him to the offseason since he's been hurt the last 2 years. I really like what Orlando has done. I like their roster. I think it's very, very interesting. I think they are a, maybe not necessarily this year, but in the maybe the following year, they're a candidate to maybe land one of these disgruntled superstars. Brett, give me your thoughts on Orlando. What'd you like? What didn't you like?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Paolo pick. You know, I'm more of a Chet guy. Like, if yeah. I were the GM, like, you know, which it's a job I'm certainly not qualified for, but just from where I stand, like, you know, I'm more of a Chet guy, but at the same time, like, I cannot be mad at the Paolo pick. He's awesome, man. Like, everything we've seen from him in college and in summer league and these pro-am games, whatever, like, he's an absolute beast. I mean, he's so big, you know what I mean? Like, even by NBA veteran standards, he is huge. You know, I think he's a legit 6'10", and he's thick. Like, he's the physicality is not going to be an issue for him. And obviously he's got a lot of really exciting perimeter skills just between his ability to shoot, his pull-ups, his handle, his passing. He can do a lot, man. And like, he feels like the guy, you know, I get why they picked him because Orlando needs a superstar. Like, I feel like all these years they've been building up these nice young players, but they've just never had, like, you know, maybe they wanted Aaron Gordon to be that guy and it became pretty clear quickly that he couldn't, but I think they need like the guy, like a superstar. And Paolo's the type of player that could be that guy and probably will. He's like an alpha on the court. Just, this is our guy. And then you surround him with all those nice young players like Fultz and Cole Anthony and Jonathan Isaac if he's healthy, and Wendell Carter, and maybe Suggs if he can get a little bit better. But then you've really got something there. So I get it. Whereas Chet might project to most people as more of like a number two, ultimately, like a star in a complimentary role, if that makes sense. Where I think Orlando's like, look, we want someone who can be the guy. And maybe that's why they chose not to take Chet or Jabari Smith Jr., who also probably not a number one. We won't know, you know, until we see them. But Paolo for sure is of that archetype. So I do get why they picked him, even if I don't think he's necessarily going to end up being the best player in this draft. And they also got Caleb Houston out of Michigan with the 32nd pick, can really shoot the ball. Saw him at Summer League. You know, he's a guy that could maybe play right away for them. And then the Bamba thing was surprising. Like, I think everybody kind of expected another team to sign him. But Orlando brought him back, and I like that a lot. Like, he was really good in the beginning of the season for them. He's been a little inconsistent, but I still believe he can be a nice player. And they signed Bol Bol 2 years, like $4 million. So they might see a little something in him too. And it's just more length. And then the Gary Harris thing, like I think he's just purely a trade chip. Like that's, you know, what'd you say it was 2 years, 26. Like that's just a very tradable contract just to make money work. He's a guy that maybe, you know, maybe a good team would value. But I don't think he's part of the long-term plans, but yeah, I think that was pretty much the offseason. And, you know, you're going to get Fultz back all the way healthy for a full season, hopefully get Isaac back. They could be an interesting team. Even last season, I think we've talked about it before. Like, you know, I would watch them sometimes and be like, they play pretty good basketball. I think they're well coached. I think Jamal Mosley's an excellent coach. I think he's the right guy for the job. And if Paolo is that guy, the man, you know, a true number one future superstar, I think he was absolutely the right pick. And they could really have something special here. So yeah, good offseason for them. I guess we're doing grades for these. I'd give him probably like an A-. I mean, you got the number one pick. I think you made a smart pick. Getting some guys back healthy. Lots of things to be excited about if you're an Orlando Magic fan.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree with everything that you
good
said.
Good time to jump on the bandwagon, I would say, for the Magic. Like, if you
jump on the bandwagon,
have you been considering becoming a Magic fan? Like, I think now is probably a pretty good time to do it, because
Gene and Tyler, you hear this, man? Good time to jump on the Orlando Magic bandwagon. I might
hop on there, man. I've been toying with the idea for a few years now. I don't know, man. They've got a lot of, like, Franz Wagner, I didn't even mention before when I was saying, like, you've got some serious players on this team, and they're all young, and they've got a lot of length, a lot of versatility, and that Paolo does feel like the missing piece, the more I think about it, you know, the go-to scorer.
Yeah, dude, I think they're going to be good, man. I mean, not good, obviously, we're not talking about a...
No.
A championship team, but dude, I think they're going to be a fun team. I think they're going to win some games, and dude, maybe they can make a run at the play-in, right? And I think that's a very, very successful season for Orlando. I think they keep building. I like their offseason, man. I agree with everything that you said, and honestly, I don't really have much to add to it. God damn, dude, was this division so damn boring? Jesus, man.
That's funny, man. We were thinking the same thing too when we were doing our taking down some notes on it. Was like, oh man, it's funny how much one division can vary from another. I know divisions are pretty meaningless in the NBA these days, but it's just funny how, like, I don't know, didn't you feel like all five of those Northwest teams had like nice off seasons, and then with this one, pretty much I would say Atlanta was like the only clear positive, and then Charlotte was a major negative, the Heat were kind of a negative, and then the Wizards were like neutral, and Orlando, hey, They had the number one pick, and they didn't fuck it up. If they had taken Jabari Smith with that pick, I might not be giving them an A- or whatever. I like him a lot, but I think now, just based on the little bit that we've seen from him and what we've seen from Chet and Paolo, more importantly, if they had taken him number one, we might be like, what were they thinking? Like, he's going to be a very nice player, but that would have been wild to take him over Paolo and Chet, I think, just from based on what we've seen. That could be proven wrong this season even, but I think
I think this is what's fun about the NBA, man. I mean, we just did a great pod last week, and this is another great pod. But obviously, you look at the Northwest, every one of those teams has a plan. You know, you look at Utah, they have a plan. They're obviously going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA next year, but they have a plan. We can clearly see the plan. Miami, you know, their plan is, well, we want Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell. All right, well, you might not get them, then what? Well, we'll just run it back, and we, you know, we talked about losing PJ Tucker. All right, Atlanta, I think they had, obviously, in that division, they had the best offseason. Charlotte, we talked about, I don't think they have a plan. Washington, I still don't even know what their plan is. In Orlando, you can see that all this young talent that they have, now they kind of got to see what works and what doesn't work. But, I mean, that's the NBA, man. And, yeah, Brett, I really am laughing. I have nothing to add to this because it's just like, all right, man, all right.
Yeah. Not a lot, man. Other than the Paolo pick and then the DeJounte trade for Atlanta. Really nothing too exciting. But hey, we got through that one, and I hope people, you know, enjoyed the episode. You know, regardless of the sort of lack of exciting moves, and I'm sure whatever division we do next, that'll be, you know, your choice. Of course, it's going to be a little bit more to talk about than with this one. But yeah, man, we'll move on to the next one. This was fun. I'll try to drop this later this week. Hopefully we're recording on Wednesday, and I'm going to hope to have this out by Friday.
I hear you, brother. Dude, for myself and Brett, really appreciate everyone listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.